fighting wild beasts, and we called it that because that's how Paul described his time in Ephesus, and you can read the story of that moment in Acts chapter 19, but you can read Paul's, we can read into Paul's mind and what was going on in his mind as these events are taking place in the book of 1 Corinthians and even into the book of 2 Corinthians. And at the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes the letter of 1 Corinthians during Acts chapter 19 while he's in Ephesus and while this amazing move of God is happening. Again, Ephesus, probably the most wild, the Bible says that God anointed Paul to do unusual miracles. God did unusual miracles through Paul's hands in Ephesus. Massive citywide revivals. In fact, the Bible said in Acts 19, we read it a couple of weeks ago, that the word of God had a powerful effect, not just in Ephesus, but through the entire continent of Asia. The gospel went forward. But at the same time, while the gospel is moving forward in a radical, powerful way, Paul says, I am fighting wild beasts. And I want to make this very clear before we end this series this morning. I know that we're looking at this from the perspective of Paul, who's in ministry, who's preaching, and so it's understandable why a lot of that might hit me a little different or relate to me a little differently. But understand that these are just, Paul's just, we're seeing Paul's wild beast. Just because you're not being dragged into an arena or on a platform somewhere preaching, listen, doesn't mean you're not fighting wild beast in your life. Amen. The wild, whatever is coming against you doing what God has called you to do, whether that's your calling as a father, your calling as a mother, your calling as a teacher, your calling as an entrepreneur, your calling as a plumber, I don't care what your purpose and what God has called you to do, whatever, anything that comes against that and makes you want to quit and makes you wonder if you can continue and move forward in that, that could be a wild beast that you're facing. Amen? Amen? And so, these are principles we're pulling out to figure out how what we can do to survive the moments where we feel like, hey, I'm fighting wild beasts myself, okay? I'm going to read Acts chapter 20, verses 16 and 17, and then I'm going to skip to the end of that and read verses 36 through 38, and I'm going to fill in the middle there as we move along this morning. Acts chapter 20, verse 16 and 17. I'm trying to find it here. There it is. There we go. Okay. Acts chapter 20, verse. I'm still in the wrong place. What am I doing, Justin? Get it together. Say, get it together, dude. Here we go. Sorry about that, guys. All right. Paul had decided to sail on past Ephesus, for he didn't want to spend any more time in the province of Asia. So Paul is already, he's left Ephesus. That happened at the end of chapter 19. Last week we talked about that moment that took place. Okay. So Paul had decided to sail on past Ephesus, for he didn't want to spend any more time in the province of Asia. He was hurrying to get to Jerusalem, if possible, in time for the festival of Pentecost. But when we landed at Miletus, he sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come and meet him. Okay. Now, let's skip down to verse 36 through 38, and I want to read this. It says, when he had finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad most of all because he had said that they would never see him again. And then they escorted him down to the ship. Okay, they escorted him down to the ship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your anointing, God, empowering us, God, to receive your word for our lives this morning in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that your word will do exactly what you have sent it and called it to do in this exact moment, Lord. And Father, I pray as we continue to look at your word for a few moments today, that God, we would not only hear some ideas and hear some lessons and hear some thoughts that we can get around, but God, I pray that we will experience a supernatural encounter with you, the God of this word, as we look at it together today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Would you just put your hands on your belly somewhere? And at home, you can do this too. Just pray this after me one final time before we get into the word today. Just ask the Lord to speak to you. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We've all heard this phrase before, right? Hindsight is 20/20. Yes? Hindsight is 20/20. And that's, of course, just a real simple way for us to understand and just put words to the idea that we all know to be true if you've lived life at any time for almost any length of time, that there are some things in life that you can never really see clearly until you get some distance between you and that thing, and then looking back, you can see clearly what was happening, what was going on, right? And I can think of a couple times in my life, especially when you're talking about living for God, following God's purpose, and pursuing Him in your life, man, there is all sorts of moments in life that are going to make zero sense to you, and we're going to try to reason out, God, your word said this, and I experienced this, and I don't understand why that happened or this happened, and there are lots of moments where you're going to have to, we're never going to see clearly in the moment when we're fighting the wild beast, and it's only with a little bit of hindsight that we can look back and go, oh, this is what God was doing there. Amen? I look back at a season of my, a reason before Luann and I, we were youth pastors for a really long time, and I was pretty well satisfied that I was going to be a youth pastor until Jesus came back. Because I really didn't want the responsibility of preaching to a bunch of adults every single Sunday morning, and I didn't want to really have to grow up and be like a grown-up minister, you know what I mean? And so I was never, ever going to pastor a church, certainly not start a church, but then we went through a season in our life where doors began to shut, things that had been open began to close, and we didn't really, God gave us no other options but to leave youth ministry and go into pastoring and really just to grow up and be adults. And that wasn't something I really wanted. But we went through a season. I mean, we went through some moments where we had to, for no reason of our own, just a situation and circumstance. I remember at one point when we lived in Florida, we were being let go from a church we were on staff at, and the economy turned. And you guys remember the 2010s? That was a fun time, right? And so it was like that. And the turn of economy, hey, man, we just can't continue to make it. We got to make cuts, and we were on the chopping block. And I remember sitting in the backyard of our house crying. Remember this, Leanne? I mean, I just remember going through that, and I knew there was nothing I had done wrong, and I remember going, man, God, if I can be, I remember feeling like, man, if I can be disposed of that easily, I don't know if I want to continue to do this. I don't know if I want to continue to pour my life and my heart and my soul into something that at the moment feels like it can be so easily dismissed. But now that some years go by, I can look back at that moment in hindsight and see clearly that God was making circumstances take place, or God was allowing circumstances to take place for Him to ultimately move me in a direction that I never would have moved in unless something radical like that had happened that led me into what God, and here we are 3 years later, we start our Red Life Church. 10 years later, here we are. God has a life-giving, spirit-filled church right here in Franklin County. Some people, people said that a church like this would never work in Brookville and Franklin County. And I mean, I don't know. I guess we could argue whether it works or not, but here we all are, and I believe God's moving, and the gospel is being preached, and people are encountering the Holy Spirit in a community like never before. Amen, somebody? And so I look back at that moment when I almost felt like quitting, and I feel like, man, this beast I'm fighting right now is going to take. But with hindsight, I can see what's going on here. And that's what's happening here in Acts chapter 20. Only a few paragraphs are written between the end of Paul, when Paul leaves Ephesus, and this moment. But most likely, definitely many months have gone by. Maybe a year or more has gone by. Paul has continued to preach the gospel, traveling around, fighting more wild beasts, you see. And Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem. And as he's coming near the place of Ephesus, the Bible says that Paul didn't have time to actually go and spend any time there, though he wanted to. So instead, he calls the leaders of the church, the elders of the church, to him, says, can you meet me for a little bit? And they have this amazing night, these amazing couple of hours, maybe a couple of days even, together. And if you read this whole chunk between where I started those verses and where that ended, Paul is just pouring out his heart. I kind of call this, it's almost like Paul's Last Supper, Paul, it's kind of Paul's version of a Last Supper with these people that he had poured so much time and energy into and watched God do so much through. And he begins to share a lot of it. But here's the thing. There's a few things I want to point out from this where Paul is looking back now at that time where he says, guys, I'm fighting wild beasts. But with hindsight, I think he begins to share, oh, this is what was going on while that was happening. Amen? And so the first thing I want to share with you is this, and this isn't going to be on the screen because I decided to share this with you a little too late. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So this is how intense this battle is in Ephesus. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm fighting wild beasts. And then months later, he's writing to the Corinthian church again in 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9, he says this. He says, not only were we fighting wild beasts, he says, but we were, the fight was so intense that we all expected to die. That's what he says. 2 Corinthians 1, says, we expected not to make it. And this is what he said. Watch this. This is the hindsight. He said, but because of that fight, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, because of that fight, he says, this is what God did. Number one thing we get to see with hindsight. He says, what happened was we learned to stop relying on ourselves and started to rely fully on God. You know, one of the things you might be going, why am I in this fight? Why is every day a struggle? Do you know one of the things that the Lord is doing when he's allowing us or leading us even sometimes into a season where we are fighting wild beasts? He is teaching us to rely on him more than ourselves. Amen? And I tell you this right now, listen, I've went through some struggles, and you have too, that I wouldn't wish on anybody, and I would never want to go back and repeat them. But I've also gained some things from those struggles that I would not trade with you for the world. Going back to the moment I shared earlier, just in my own life, I wouldn't want to go through that season again, where everything was tight, and I didn't know how we were going to make it. I didn't know what was going to happen, and this door was closing, and that door was closing, and I wasn't sure where we were going to go. What am I going to do with my family? Micah had just been born, so we got 3 kids, and I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And here we are in Florida, hours away from family and friends that but you know what? Watching God work that situation out and watching God close one door and open another and lead us to the exact place where we would go. And even for a moment, we thought, well, maybe this is where we're supposed to be. But then we realized a couple years after that, oh, that was just a transition place. God had to get me out of there to this one place so that he could show me what he wanted to do here again, and seeing how God works and watching God figure all that out, and now having the confidence to know when I'm going through seasons like that, I may not be able to see all the pieces, but I know I have seen God fit things together that I had no idea of before. And family, can I tell you something? The peace and the faith and the confidence and the boldness that can bring in my life to trust God through any situation, I wouldn't trade that with you for anything. I don't want to fight that again, but I wouldn't trade how I learned to rely on God either. Amen? And another thing, the second thing I want to share about this hindsight that Paul gets, when he's talking, I'm going to reference the scriptures in Acts chapter 20 probably, and as he's talking that, I'm not going to necessarily read it, but this is you can sign up for the reading plan. Make sure you follow the reading plan this week. You'll be able to read all this week in the Red Life reading plan, and there are instructions to do that on the website, and you should just be doing that already anyway. Amen, somebody? Okay, here we go. Okay, I got to plug that. Again, in 1 Corinthians 16, after chapter 15, he says, I'm fighting wild beasts. Chapter 16, verse 9, he says, as he's writing to his friends in Corinth, where he had just left to go to Ephesus, and he's in the middle of this fight, and he's fighting wild beasts, this is what else he says. He says, I am staying on here in Ephesus. You can read this in 1 Corinthians 16, 9. I'm staying on here in Ephesus. He says, though many oppose me, God has opened a great door. The other thing that Paul gets here when he's in verse 19 is he brings the Ephesian elders to him. He says, you know how I served God in front of you, and you know how I didn't shrink back. And we're going to talk about that in a second. And he says, you know how I didn't shrink back and preached the whole gospel to you. He says, despite the plot of the Jewish people who were there to try to stop the spread of the gospel. He says, you understand. He's reminding them of their time together, their 3 years together. And here's what Paul's gaining from the hindsight. He's understanding there were these plots of people were plotting against me, trying to kill me, trying to stop the move of the Holy Spirit. But what he realized is, even though I faced all that opposition, at the same time, there was an open door. And can I just declare, and can someone just, I just really feel like someone needs to hear this in your season, in your struggle right now. Somebody at home might need to hear this and receive this right now. Just because you have opposition doesn't mean there's not an open door right there along with it. In fact, many times that God is opening a door, the enemy is at the exact same time sending opposition. And I want to let somebody know, don't you stop and don't you quit for a second or back off of what God has opened in front of you just because there might be opposition there. In fact, the fact that there is opposition there is probably a big clue and a key to let you and I know that somewhere through that opposition, God has opened a door. And I just got to get through that moment and season of opposition, and I'm going to walk into the next thing that God has for my life. Amen? Somebody needs to look at their opposition right now and thank God that right there alongside with it is an open door. Amen, somebody? All right, that was two of us in here. This is, must be for everybody at home. Somebody at home needs to look at your opposition and say, that's my open door. Amen, somebody. There is an open door right with the opposition. And Paul begins to see, but see, I can't always see the door when I'm in the middle of the opposition. It's one of those things I can only see when I get through it and serve God faithfully through it and look back. It's one of these things with hindsight. That's what Paul's doing here. He said, you remember, he's telling the elders, you remember what we went through? It wasn't even that long ago. The plots, and this is, well, you say, well, okay, that's good to amen about, but how? How do I get and fight through the opposition and find that open door that Paul's talking about? Again, he gives us clues here right in the scripture. He says this, and this is in verses 20 and 27. I'm going to read verse 20, I'm going to read verse 27. It won't be on the screen because I'm going to reference a bunch of this. This is, he begins this talk, okay? He says, I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes, okay? I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, okay? Verse 27, look at this again, verse 27. He says, for I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. How do you fight through the opposition to find the open door? You can't let the opposition shrink you. Amen? See, understand, God opens a door and says, this is something, it could be any open door. It could be a promotion to work. It could be an understanding of your purpose and calling in life. It could be a greater revelation and understanding of who He is as your Savior and Lord. Whatever the open door God has for you, the enemy will bring opposition there, or opposition often accompanies that. Why? Because the opposition is trying to shrink the calling and the purpose and the anointing and the thing that God has on your life through that door. Amen? All of the plots of the people that rose up in Ephesus and all throughout Paul's ministry and it's still going on. You know, it's all about, and here's the thing, it's not even about me often, and it's often not even about you personally. It's about the thing that God has on the inside of you, and opposition is trying to shrink that gifting, that calling, that anointing, that grace, that thing that God has created inside of you to do, to bring Him glory. Amen? The opposition is trying to shrink you, but here is what happens. This is what Paul says. I didn't shrink not a moment. Listen, where opposition tries to shrink you, God is using it to grow you. The very opposition that is intended to shrink what God has called you to be and to diminish who God has created you to be is often the very opposition that God will use to grow you into everything He's created you to be. Amen, somebody? So, when you see opposition, when you feel like, man, I'm fighting wild beasts, I relate to that. Know that while it may feel like it's something to shrink you, know that if I don't shrink back, God is using that to grow me. Amen? To grow me, to grow his purpose, to grow his calling, whatever it is in my life. Okay? Notice this too. Paul says in verse 20, or let me read this in verse 19. Okay, he says, I've done the Lord's work. Watch this. I've done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. Okay. Verse 32, again, he's talking. He's still, this is all this one conversation. Verse 32, he says, and now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace. Verse 30, that's got to be the wrong thing. There it is. Sorry. Verse 31. Watch out. Remember the three years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day. Here's that word again. And with many tears. So Paul says, hey, I didn't shrink back, but I did cry a few times. And he's calling them to remembrance, saying, remember how we spent our time. Remember what God did over these 3 years we were together. Okay? Remember what's going on. He says, and you remember, I didn't shrink back even when I had to weep and I had to cry. Okay? This is all where this is coming together here. Listen, cry if you need to, but don't you dare shrink back from what the word that God has placed on the inside of you to believe for. Amen, somebody? It's okay to cry. It's not okay to quit. It's okay to weep. It's not okay to shrink. Listen to me very close. Don't you dare shrink back from the promise that God has birthed on the inside of you to claim and to believe and to confess boldly. Don't shrink back. Cry if you need to, but don't shrink back. Why? Because there's an open door waiting for you to walk through, waiting for you to bust through the opposition. Amen? Now, why is Paul talking all this to these elders? Because if you read this is like Paul's giving him his last words. In fact, Paul, through a couple of times here, says in one part of the chapter here in verse 20, he says, everywhere that I go, the Holy Spirit tells me that there are trials and sufferings and things for me to endure. In fact, if you'll read the next chapter, you'll see that two different times Paul gets a prophetic word from someone saying, if you go to Jerusalem, you are going to be imprisoned, you are going to be put in chains, and it's going to be a real rough moment for you. And when Paul gets that word, all of his friends around him say, Paul, let's change plans, dude. God is speaking to you. God is warning us of danger. But Paul says, something inside of me is telling me I still have to go. Okay, I'm going to come back to that in a moment. This is why we say this to Paul. And Paul tells them here in this moment, he says, you will probably never see my face again. Okay? Paul understands by unction and by a word from the Holy Spirit, Paul understands that the wild beasts he fought in Ephesus are probably nothing. And if anything, they were only preparing him for this next great battle he's about to face. And in fact, Paul, in this moment in Acts chapter 20, there's eight chapters in the book of Acts. Basically, the rest of the book of Acts gives us the story of Paul's this last struggle. And in the last few verses of Acts, Paul will be arrested. Paul will be nearly ripped apart in an arena. Paul will be he will be imprisoned for several years. He will not only be imprisoned for several years, going from court to court and going from case to case, and it's a big legal thing. And then Paul finally says, I want to appeal to Caesar in Rome because he's a Roman citizen. And so Paul is then put on a ship to go to Rome and plead his case before Caesar. And on the way to Rome, Paul is shipwrecked and nearly dies again. And then he's stranded on an island in the middle of the sea. And then finally he's living in Acts 28. We don't see all the end of the story in Acts, but Acts 28 ends with Paul basically being on house arrest in Rome, preaching the gospel, but under Roman guard. That's the whole rest of the thing. So this moment is Paul understanding. He didn't know all that was going to happen, but he had a knowing and an understanding, man, I got some more battles to fight. Amen? And I want to see what Paul does here. And understand this. The battle I'm facing right now, God's going to give me the victory, but there's a really good chance it's going to prepare me for whatever next great battle comes. Amen? Paul gets these warnings. Understand this too. I want to say this. It's quite possible for God to warn me of danger that he has also called me to face. Amen? And what separates, again, Paul gets these two times. People are saying, there's this one guy, Agabus, and they're in a service or whatever, and Agabus is this prophet of God, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit. The Bible says Agabus picks up this a belt, and it's Paul's belt. But he didn't know that, but he just said, the Lord is telling me that whoever owns this belt is going to be imprisoned, and wherever they're going, you're about to be imprisoned. And so Paul's like, oh, that's, yikes, that's my belt. That's how many would like to have something like that happen at church today, right? Like, that'd be feeling real good, right? And so Paul's friends are like, hey, let's change plans. Paul's like, no, I know I'm called to do this thing. This is what God is calling me to do. Now, it's very interesting because if you remember last week, we talked about Paul in Ephesus. His friends, again, told him not to go into the arena. And Paul listened to him, right? And in this case, same people, same words, same warning. Paul, but for whatever reason, Paul, what's the difference? Paul has a sense of calling and a sense of purpose. Your purpose will help you interpret what God is saying and speaking to you. Amen? Somebody might say, well, the Lord is telling me to tell you this, and because they don't have your same purpose or your same calling or the same gifting on the inside of them, they may interpret it one way. It's one thing to say God is saying this or I'm hearing God say this, yet the interpretation can go different ways based on what I know God is telling me personally. Amen? And sometimes in life, just because the Holy Spirit says, oh, this is about to get real ugly, doesn't mean he's saying not go. Just because the Holy Spirit's giving you a warning, and sometimes the Holy Spirit might give that warning through someone else that is sure that this means you're supposed to change direction, and you might have to say or just reason it within yourself, I appreciate that warning, but yet I know this is where God has called me to be. Amen? And don't think just because God might say, you might feel, oh, this is getting really hard, or this looks a little dangerous, depending on what God has called you to do, it may mean still go forward. It may not. I don't want you to hear me say, you're not helping me at all. You're telling me it could be either way. Yeah, you got to have your own walk with God, dude. My job is to tell you this book and hopefully get you into this word enough to where you'll be able to have a relationship with Jesus and you can figure this stuff out for yourselves, because what he calls you to do, he may not call me to do, and we could do that all the way down the line. Amen. You gotta figure out what God's telling you. I may even tell you, hey, this, you know, for the greater picture here, probably unwise, whatever. And you might have to look at me and go, man, I hear you, thank you, but I feel like God's telling me to do something. Well, then it's a warning to prepare me. Amen? Okay. And when Paul was getting ready to face an even bigger battle than what he faced in Ephesus, and what would eventually lead to how he lived out the rest of his days. History of Paul, Acts 28 ends, he's under Roman house guard. He's there basically for the rest of his life for several years until ultimately the Emperor Nero decides we got to take the church out, and Paul ends up with his head on the chopping block, has his head cut off by the emperor. So this is leading to Paul's, it's going to take a few years, but his last few years are glorious in that he's writing the New Testament and he's in Rome and he's preaching in churches, but they're also very, 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 very burdensome. And when Paul is getting ready to face an even bigger battle than the wild beast in Ephesus that will define the rest of his life, I find it very interesting who he calls to his side for a moment. He asks for the elders at Ephesus to come and meet him. And he gives them some of his final instructions from the Lord. But then they are also praying with him. They're encouraging him. I want you to the picture of that is so awesome to me. Because when Paul was getting ready to fight the biggest fight of his life, he went and found some other people that had already fought some wild beasts with him. Amen. How many understand when you go through something with, listen, for very many reasons, but one of the reasons I'm telling you, as far as I could ever help it, I'm never going to let my relationship with my wife end, okay? Even when she dies, I'm like, I'm going to. No, I don't know. I'm kidding. You know why? Honestly, one of the biggest reasons. Do I love her? Yes. Do I think she's all that? Yes. Awesome. She's a way better person than me. Most of you know that. But the reality is this, dude. We have just fought too many battles and demons together. There's a bond, and there's a bond that's created there. Amen? When you, some of you have some work buddies. You ever worked at a place that was going under, that was a real tough place to work at, and every day you got to feel like you're in a foxhole with a friend, and you got a lifelong friend because you guys worked through hell together, right? Same thing's happening here. And when Paul is like, I'm getting ready to take on the biggest fight of my life, he's like, I need some other warriors with me for a few minutes who I know how to do warfare, who I know have been in the trenches a little bit, who have fought wild beasts with me before, because the beast I feel like I'm about to go up against now is bigger than anything any of us ever faced, and I need some people who have done some battle before. And then this amazing thing happens. Paul shares his last, it's everything he has. I didn't shrink back. You remember, we wept together, we fought together, we bled together, we didn't think we were going to make it. He says, when I leave, people are going to come in and try to take this thing over. Guard the flock. Guard your hearts. It's like his final sermon. He tells them, this is the last moments I'm going to have with you in person. And the Bible says at the end of that speech, this is the last thing I read, verses 32 and 33. The Bible says they pray together. They weep together. And then the elders escort Paul to the very ship that will lead him away to his biggest battle and away from them. And I just read that and I thought, God, thank you for the people in my life who I know are willing to escort me to the ship if they need to. You want to find some people that will help you fight some wild? You want to find some people that can help you get through a rough season and prepare you while you're going ready for it? Man, you know what we got to do? We got to find some folks around us in our lives. We got to ask God, and we got to honor these folks. Listen, we got to have people around us. Because watch this. They're escorting. It would be more beneficial for the Ephesian elders to just kidnap Paul and say, no, buddy, you're going to stay here, and you're going to preach to us, and you're going to make us feel good, and you're going to tell us all about Jesus, you're going to continue to lead this church. That would benefit them by escorting Paul to his mission and calling and purpose. They are losing out or missing the ministry that Paul had been to them and was able to do for them. Think about the picture of friendship. To be a good enough partner of the kingdom and to be a good enough friend to someone to say, you know what? If this is what God's telling you to do, it's going to suck for me. It's going to suck for you too. But I'm losing. But you know what? I'll take you to the ship if that's what I got to do. Man, I want to be a friend that says, man, wherever God is calling you to go, I'll walk with you, man. I'll walk down the port with you. I'll get you. Even if it means that you and I are not going to be, if we're not going to have the closest, even if it means that the ship is going to take you away from me and I'm going to lose out on that friendship or relationship, man, we've got to be people who are more concerned with seeing one another fulfill the calling and the purpose that God has on our lives more than the gift I can receive from you and the blessing it is to me. And they escort him. They escort him to the ship that's going to lead him away. you know why they could do this? You know why this is possible and why we can still do it today too? Earlier in the chapter, Paul says, you're going to watch, remember, he tells them, guard the sheep, remembering that this is God's house. Not mine, not yours, not Paul's, not Apollos's, not Justin's, not Josh's. No, this belongs to God. And because this is God's kingdom, I can escort you to the ship if I need to. And you can escort me. And we can help each other obey God and do what he's called us to do, no matter the personal problem. Does that make sense? I don't know. Is that hitting anybody? I mean, that just blows my mind. And I sure love to say this. The common thread that you see through this season where Paul is fighting wild beasts, what gets him through it and what's going to get one of the biggest things, if not the biggest thing, outside of just Jesus in general, that's going to get us through it. Watch this now. Don't miss this. The key to fighting these wild beasts is the people that I'm connected with that are fighting with me. We go all the way back to chapter 1, to the first Acts 18, the first part of this. Paul didn't know he was about to fight wild beasts in Ephesus, but God connected him with Priscilla and Aquila and Apollos in Corinth, and God moves in Corinth and then moves all of them to Ephesus. Priscilla and Aquila begin to fight and work with Paul, work in Ephesus, and they're working alongside Paul there. People are connected with him. Amen? Apollos shows up in Ephesus. Other people are coming in and out. God connects. We see other names mentioned that are there in Ephesus. Alexander, Gaius, Aristarchus. In fact, 1 Corinthians 16, 17 and 18. I'm actually going to turn over there. I wasn't planning on, but I want to read this to you. This is after Paul is in the middle. He's in the middle of the fight, but he's seeing the hindsight. He says, man, I'm facing opposition, but there's open doors. So remember, he's writing to Corinth from Ephesus in the middle of the fighting wild beasts. This is what he says at the end part of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 17. He says, I'm very glad that Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaeus have come here. They have been providing the help that you weren't here to give me. They have been a wonderful encouragement to me, as they have been to you, and you must show appreciation to all who serve so well. Paul's the main character in the story. Paul's the leader. Paul's the guy. Paul's fighting wild beasts. But God has people around him to fight with him. Amen? You see that all throughout. You know what a great thing, one thing I love to do, and if you've never done this, pay attention the next time. The next time you're reading 1 Corinthians, Ephesus, the next time you're reading these letters of Paul in the New Testament, pay real close. I know it's the part you skip over because you think, well, Paul's just saying hello and goodbye. No, pay attention to the end chapters, because a lot of times those end few verses in a lot of those books, he begins to name people. He says, hey, tell so-and-so I'm praying for him. Tell so-and-so thank you. Man, thank you for sending that guy. He's been so... And what you see is that it was never just one guy fighting. God had a whole team of people there. And you know what that lets you and me know? Listen to me. Because when you go through a season where opposition, not only does you know what opposition is trying to shrink you, opposition is also hopefully trying to single you out. Opposition wants to isolate you. And when you go through a season where you're fighting some wild beasts, and you might be here right now, you might be thinking, man, Pastor, this sermon series has been hitting me right where I am, man. This is really, thank you, man, God's speaking to me, and that's wonderful. But I want you to be on guard of this and watch out for this and understand this. Because when you begin to fight through wild beasts, it's very easy to begin to think, I am the only one going through this. There's nobody here with me. And what this lets me know, that God, listen to me, don't miss this. God never intended for you and me to fight wild beasts alone. All at every turn in the story, it wasn't just Paul fighting. God had other people right there with him. And when you're in the middle of the fight, you get it. There's this temptation that will creep up that says, man, I can't tell anybody about this struggle. I can't let anybody know. They'll think I'm this, they'll think I'm that. Especially if it's something personal and private. And I'm not suggesting, listen, I'm telling you, don't be the person that's putting it all out on Facebook and social media and everybody you know, like everybody in town doesn't even know your business. That's fine. But you've got to find something. This is why this moment here, Sunday morning, is important. It's why life groups and small groups and men's group is important, because it provides an opportunity for us to come together and connect and realize, oh, I'm not by myself. I'm not by myself. I'm not alone. Joe was at men's group yesterday. He was sharing some stuff. And while he was sharing, I was thinking, oh, Joe wants to choke his kids out the exact same way I do. We're not fighting this thing alone. Amen, somebody. Can we stand below this room this morning? Well, I don't need nobody but God. Yeah, but that God loves you enough to send people around you to fight with you. My prayer for me and for us is that we would be two things here, and I'm going to be done. I want to be a church, and I want to be around people that will walk me down to the ship, if that's what's required in the calling. Amen. I want to be that for people. I believe we should be a church. I believe church should be a group of people committed to Jesus. And would say, man, I don't want you to get on that ship. But if that's where you gotta go, we'll pray together, we'll weep together. And I'll walk with you as far as I can. Secondly, I think I want us to be, and I believe God will have us be some people that can fight wild beasts together. Amen. Let us know we're not fighting. Here's how we're going to end this. I know this is a little down a little bit. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless us in just a moment. I know. I feel it too. I know you're thinking, wait, this was, you preached for 3 weeks in this fourth one just to get to that point part right there? Yeah. Absolutely. Because I've seen the value. Man, I know the value. I know what it's been like when I've been down and gotten a text from someone that said, hey, that message you shared last week, that really blessed me. Or hey, somebody who's not even a part of this, hey man, don't give up, don't quit, man. God, I'm praying for you. I know what it's like. I've been there when I didn't think anybody was paying attention to what I was going through, or I thought I was hiding it real well. I thought, oh, nobody can see. Isn't it wild? We think we're hiding. We're not. You're not hiding it. We all see. You're walking in here with your shirt ripped and your lip fat and bloody. We know you're going through it, bro. How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed, brother. Everything's fine. But you limp to your seat, bleeding on the way. I know what it's like when I thought I was fooling everybody and doing, and somebody said, hey, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm praying for you and I'm with you. If you need anything, call me. And I've been blessed to be able to be that for other people. I don't think there's anything more valuable if I'm fighting wild beasts than knowing there's people that have my back fighting with me. Amen. I'm going to pray. This is how we're going to, ask us to end. You don't have to be weird about it. But I don't want you to like just rush through it either, like we're saying hello. I'm going to encourage, and if this is like your worst nightmare and you just, can't, I'm not, this is no condemnation. But I want to encourage everyone that will. If you're watching online, do this electronically. Do it through a text. Do it through a Instagram message or a Facebook message, whatever. I want you to go to two or three people before you go today and give them a real, you don't have to, again, don't make it weird. Okay, I'm crying. I'm making it weird. I know. I get it. I'm sorry. Give him a hug or whatever you're comfortable with, man. A firm handshake, a real hand clap, but not just like the normal, like passing ones. Like, hey, whatever. See you next week. I want you to look somebody. I want you to look two or three people in the eye and say, hey. Somebody says that to you and you feel like sharing something or you need prayer, you just go ahead and ask them for prayer. Just have fight with them praying for you. I believe we got some wild beast killers in this room this morning. I do. Father, I thank you that everything that we go through, you redeem it, you repurpose it, you use it for your glory, often whether we even realize it or want you to or not. Lord, I pray that every person right now that really is going through a season that feels like I'm fighting every day, I'm fighting wild beasts, may not be in ministry, maybe not, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we would know that you're here with us, God, and I pray that you will. I pray right now that you will open our eyes to see the people that you already have in place around us, that are fighting with us, that will walk to the ship with us, that will pray with us, that will cry with us, that will weep with us. And God, I declare in the name of Jesus, we are those people who will not shrink. We may cry, we may weep, we may bleed, we may bruise, we may have to crawl, we may have to whatever. We will not shrink from the calling, the purpose, the plan, the glory, and the anointing that you have for our lives in Jesus' name. We declare right now, and I dare you right now just begin to receive this, just begin to declare, we will not shrink. From what you have put in front of us to believe, to do, to go forward in Jesus' name. Wild beast, opposition, whatever it is, we will walk through the door that you're opening for us in every area of our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you believe that, say amen right now. Come on, if you believe that, say amen right now. In fact, declare that, say, I will not shrink. I will not shrink back from anything that God has for me. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The